Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
The Lord has given birth. My wife is pregnant with a message. With a message from the Lord. And now, Lord, would you help her to just deliver it and help people to receive in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm so thankful to be here and to be able to talk to you. I just can't be on that pulpit thing up there. It's just, I'm good. No, it's good. Thank you. Yeah, I just can't do that. I have a song the Lord wanted me to sing this morning to you just a little bit, but I want you to participate once I go through it. It's just a little verse. And it's because I do need Jesus this morning. I do need Jesus this morning. So, oh, I need Jesus. Oh, I need Him. Oh, I need Jesus. Take this world and give me Him. Can we sing that together?
Let's do it again.
That's all you need today, really. We could go home after that. But I do have a word I feel like the Lord wanted me to share this morning. And first of all, I wanted to start out with a little story about a rhema word that God gave me in 1979. We had been married almost 4 years, and I wanted a child. I mean, really and truly, my whole goal in life was to get married and have babies. I love children, but so I wanted a child, and I was not able to conceive, and they were wanting to run all these tests, and I thought, that's just not happening. And so we just started to pray and ask the Lord. I said, God, you know I want a baby. I mean, I don't have to have my own baby. I'll take anybody's baby if they are not wanting that baby. I'll take it. I don't care. I just want to take a child and raise it and love it. And so I was crying one morning. Pastor was in the Marine Corps at that time, and he was at his office. And I opened my Bible to Judges 13:3. And I want you to read it. Is it up there, Jenny? Or whoever's up there? There it is. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, you're infertile and have borne no children. Yet you will conceive and bear a son." Now, I want you to know, I didn't even take the son part. I don't think that was specifically for me. I took it as I was going to get pregnant. He was comforting my heart and giving me that rhema word to know that I was going to have a baby. Well, I'm hysterical in the house now by this time. I'm just jumping around and screaming and squalling and carrying on, and no one's there. So I called the office, pastor's office, and I said, "I need to speak with Sergeant Washburn." And the guy says, "Washburn, your wife's on the phone," and she's hysterical. And so he got on the phone, and I was so excited. I said, "We're going to have a baby. We're going to have a baby." And he's like, "Calm down, calm down." Because so many times I thought I was pregnant, and I was not. And so he just didn't want me to be hurt. Well, I knew. I just knew. From that moment, I believed that I received what I just had read from God's word. And that was on November 6th of 1979. And exactly 9 months to that day, on August 6, 1980, our daughter was born. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. So that was my Rhema word from the Lord. And I am so thankful that I had that. And there's an illustration in the word in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 17. Hannah could not have a baby. Remember the story of Hannah. And she begged God. She went in the temple, and Eli thought she was drunk because she was just, you know, her mouth was just going. It says no sounds were coming out, but she was just really crying, desiring a baby. I knew that feeling. I just knew that feeling. And he came up to her and said, "What are you doing drinking at this hour?" And she's like, no, I'm not drunk like you think. I'm praying for a child." And I just love this. He told her that she was going to have a child. And from that moment on, she believed, because it says in verse 118b, the second part of the verse, that her face wasn't sad anymore. She believed that she was going to have a baby, and she did. I'm going to speak today a little bit about faith and people who exhibited faith and believed the word that God gave them. It is crucial that when we receive a word, we don't just put it on a shelf like some people's Bibles are and dusty. We don't want that. We want it to penetrate our hearts to the point we speak it out of our mouth because we believe it so much. I spoke it out of my mouth. I was determined. I was having that baby. God said it. I said, "I'm getting that baby," and I had that baby. And she is the one who has our 7 grandchildren, so thank you, Jesus. So I'm thankful for that. So Mark 11:22 is the illustration of the fig tree that Jesus walked by. It didn't have fruit on it. It should have had fruit on it, like we should have fruit in our lives as well. And he cursed that tree. And then he and the disciples went on and did whatever they do. Well, the next morning as they're walking by, Peter sees the fig tree and he's like, "Lord, look at the fig tree." Now, evidently he didn't expect much to happen to that tree because he was like in a little bit of shock. He's like, "Oh, Lord, look at this tree." And it was withered up to the ground. And Jesus said, "I want you to write this down and put your name before it. Pam, have faith in God." That's what Jesus told his disciples, especially Peter, right at that moment. Have faith in God. It's a direct command. It's not a, well, maybe so, or just if you want to. No, he said, have faith in God. Amen. It's a command. Yes. And I believe the Lord is speaking to us. Have faith in God. It is a command from him to you. And just say right now, "I receive it. I receive it. I receive it." He's not telling them to use their natural faith. I mean, we know we have faith in things. I know when I sit on that chair, it's going to hold me up, I hope. And then I know if I flick the light switch on, the light's going to come on because the electricity's flowing through the wires, and there we go. So that's natural faith. This is not what he was telling them. It is faith in what he gave us. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "Faith is a gift of God to us." You know, I used to always pray. I would pray. I said, "Lord, give me the gift of faith." Oh, I'm sorry. "Give me the gift of faith." I mean, I wanted more. And I just felt like, well, I don't feel like I have any more. But he gave each of us, the minute we were born again, he planted it in us. Blink! A little seed of faith. Now, it is up to us how we use that faith. Now, that little seed can stay a little seed as long as you're alive. If you don't water it and you don't do what you're supposed to do by letting it grow and speaking it out of your mouth, God has called us to do that. It's a gift from Him. And if you receive a gift, people want you to use it, right? People want you to use it. And this kind of faith is the dunamis power of God. I mean, dunamis, dynamite. It blows things up, you know? When you have the dunamis kind of faith that God has called us to do, we should all be on fire in this place, truly, with the faith of God. We should be speaking it out of our mouth. It should be so powerful that this place is filled with the electric power of the faith of God here in Grace Tabernacle. He's called us to that. He's called us to that. So we've got to get to that point. It's our responsibility. He gave you the seed. It's your responsibility to do something with the seed and grow it. The dunamis, the word dunamis is used 117 times in the New Testament, and it has a distinct meaning. It is an essential characteristic or attribute in us the minute we're born again. That dunamis is in you the minute you are born again in the Spirit of God. You have it. You have it within you. So I want to know, are we using that dunamis power that God has put inside of us? Are we using that? It's the supernatural ability to accomplish what seems humanly impossible, right? I mean, miracles seem humanly impossible. I honestly, when I had that back thing going on years ago and I was in such excruciating pain, I thought, it is humanly impossible for me to get well. They had already done surgery. That certainly did not help. I had taken pain medications of every kind and stopped because that was not helping. So this was a humanly impossible situation. I cried out to God, and I got what I wanted. I say, thank you, God. Today, I am walking, talking. The next day, my grandkids came in from Tennessee, and I was sitting on the floor playing Monopoly with them. I said, thank you, Lord. So that is the dunamis power that we have in us to believe what God says. It's not just sitting there, just to sit there for us to do whatever we want with it. It is the dunamis power of God for us to do what He's calling us to do. And I'm telling you, I know there's a call in everyone's life in this place. He has called you to something. And most of you know what it is. You might be running from it if you don't really want to receive it, but God has called each one of us to something that He has given inside of us, and the dunamis power is there for us to do it. Amen. It is right there for us to do it. In Mark 5, the scripture gives us a glimpse of God's divine power at work through Jesus. In verses 6 through 8, chapter 5, verse 6 through 8, Jesus delivers a man of demons using the dunamis power that resided within him. He delivered a man filled with demons. Now, I do want to ask this question. How many of you have been in a deliverance and you saw the deliverance happen right before your eyes? I have. Yes, I have. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. That dunamis power is in us to use to help people come to Jesus, to help people follow Jesus, to help people become exactly who God has destined them to become. We're not here floating around on the earth just till we die and working to make money and doing all our activities that we do, whatever it is. We're not here just for those things. God has a destiny for each one of us, and we need to be following that destiny. Then in chapter 5, verses 40 to 42, He raises a child to life with that same power. But let me tell you this. When He raised that child to life, what did He have to do? Because everybody, you know, they're crying and screaming and carrying on because the child had died. We would be if it was our child. There's no doubt we would be crying. But because they were crying, they didn't have the faith, the capability to even walk in it at that moment for that child to come back to life. So Jesus said, y'all get out of the room. Go on out there and cry out there. Move it, move it, move it. He shut the door. And then he said, he laid on that child, little girl, or he said to that child, little girl, get up, wake up. And she did. And it was only because that he could not, you can't function. If I was in this room speaking today and no one was in here that really had faith to believe, I couldn't even get up here, honestly. I couldn't do what God said to do because of that. So we have to move the people out. Like I told my husband, I said, listen, if I'm ever in a place where I can't speak for myself, all I know is you have a guard standing at my hospital door, and they have to know, does that person speak faith or not? Even the doctors. Don't tell me the report if it's bad in this room. You tell me out in the hallway, because I do not want those ears of my loved one to hear the bad report. They are only to hear the good report, and they are supposed to hear life spoken out of this mouth. So I want you to tell your loved ones as well. Don't you let anyone in my room, wherever I may be, speak in death or speak in a bad report. Don't let it happen. So Jesus had to put them out, and that child came to life. Well, in between these two miracles of the man getting free from the demons and the little girl being raised to life, there is a story, and I love this story. I love this story. And I have this beautiful picture that my amazing husband got for me from Israel, from Magdala, where they actually have it all around a wall in little tiny tiles, this whole picture. And yeah, you'll be able to see it in just a minute. But in the story in Mark 5:25-34, that is the thing, that story that is sandwiched between the other two stories I just told you. And we see the story of a bleeding woman. This woman was desperate for healing. It had been 12 years. She spent every penny she had. She must have been wealthy to go to doctors for 12 years and pay for it out of your own pocket. There was no insurance back then. So she had to pay every doctor she went to, and instead of getting better, she was worse. None better at all. And, you know, as a nurse, I know that this woman had to be terribly anemic. Terribly anemic. 12 years, she's anemic. She's weak because she's anemic. She doesn't have strength to do what she needs to even do because of so much blood loss. As a human, I know that this woman was lonely. She had to be very, very lonely. Amen. She was considered ceremonially unclean because the bleeding never stopped. So she was considered ceremonially unclean according to Leviticus chapter 15, verse 5. It says it up there, if a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, not at the time of her menstrual cycle, or if she has discharged beyond the time of her impurity, all the days of the discharge she shall be in uncleanness, and in days of her impurity she shall be unclean. So for 12 years, this poor woman is considered unclean. Well, in those days, if you were unclean, and I just went up to you and said, well, hey, Richard, you're unclean, totally unclean. You have to go and do the ceremonial washing, and you're unclean for 7 days. So that means you don't go out of your house for 7 days. How would you like that? I mean, we were on lockdown, remember? We were on lockdown, so we know what that's like. But we were able to go outside, walk around outside. I could talk to people across the street. I'd do my walking, and people would stand on that side. I'd do on this side, and we'd just talk. Can you imagine me not talking for that long? I know y'all can't imagine that. If you do, you got a great imagination. If you can do that. So she couldn't be around anyone. So can you imagine the loneliness? I mean, remember we heard of suicide, so many suicides happening during the time of lockdown because people were so depressed, especially the elderly. They were so depressed, no one to touch them, to hug them, to love them, anything like that. Can you imagine for 12 years this went on in this woman's life? I can't even imagine that. And this bleeding woman actually represents all of us, including you men. It represents all of us who have a chronic, destructive issue that causes bleeding in your soul. Every one of us really have an issue with this that needs to be healed. And the only one, you've probably done all kinds of things. You've gone to doctors, maybe. You've gone to psychiatrists, psychologists. You've done what you know to do, and you're none better. And today is your day, just so you know. Just so you know, today's your day. So this woman was desperate, and desperation fuels tenacity in us. It should fuel tenacity. Sometimes desperation can make you just give up hope. But we will not do that, will we? It should fuel tenaciousness in us to where we're like a bulldog who grabs on. And when they grab on, that's it. There's no letting go unless you shoot it and kill it or something. Because they are so tenacious. When they get a hold of something, they keep it. They keep it. So your desperation in your situation should bring out tenaciousness to where I am going for whatever I have to get from the Lord because I have to have it. No one else can give it. It's only Him who can do it. So that's what we need. Her tenacity shows us that we can be healed and we can stop the bleeding in our own hearts and souls. The bleeding in our lives, Most of the time, the bleeding that we have deep inside our hearts and our souls usually is from a trauma of some kind, even as a child, from a trauma, from rejection, from self-loathing, which I believe a lot of women especially have, self-loathing. Hurtful words from someone you love, and they're pouring out hurtful words to you. All of those things can cause bleeding in your soul. And we don't want that to go on any longer because all those wounds can be healed. Amen. Today, those wounds can be healed. Amen. Today. Amen. You don't have to walk around with that heaviness on you. You don't have to walk around with that pain in your soul. You do not have to walk around with that. No matter the cause or how long it has been going on, the truth can set you free. Amen. The truth. You shall know. Say it loud. It's up there. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, what is the truth? Who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. He is the truth. And this is the truth right here. His word out of His mouth is the truth. So the truth will set you free this very day if that's what you desire. And I know personally, I'm speaking personally, I know how the devil works. The little whispers in your ear, that's impossible. That's impossible. That can't happen. You caused the issue yourself. So why would God heal you? I mean, there's all kinds of evil things the enemy wants to speak into your ears to get you to believe it so you won't receive your healing. Because what has he come for? To steal, to kill, and destroy. And listen, he won't just use other people or other things to destroy us. He's going to use us to destroy ourselves. He's going to make us get into unbelief. He's going to make us get into self-loathing. We hate ourselves. We're no good. We believe the lie, and that's what he's going to do. And what do you think maybe causes people to take their own life. Hopelessness, self-loathing, I'm no good, nothing good can come out of this situation I'm in, there is no reason for me to be here. Why? Don't you think that he wants that to happen? Because if he can't take them out, he wants them to take themselves out. Okay? Don't let that even be in your mind. If it is, I want you to take that thought captive. The Bible says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. When you take something captive, you don't just let it keep walking around if they're captive, do you? No, you're going to chain them up. You're going to put them in jail. You're going to put them in a cell. Slam that thing. Lock that thing. Well, that's what I feel like when I have a thought that I know is not from God, because the Bible says what? Every good and perfect gift comes from who? The Father. And everything bad comes from? Okay, so you can know that if it's a good thing coming into your life and not good according to your good, because our good can be, you know, kind of messed up. But if it is from God and you know it's from Him, you know it's good. But you also know things that are not of God, and many of us at times continue to do what we know is not good. We know it is not from the Lord that you get this thought that you decide to act on. We know that. And don't say you don't. Because we do. We know it. So we get to choose good or evil. We get to choose that. So it is up to us to choose what is good, what comes down from Him alone, and that is all. We don't want to choose anything the enemy says. And Mark 9:23 says, and you got to stand on this, if you have to write it around your house and you put it on papers above the sink, in the mirror, in the bathroom, in the washroom, wherever you are, you write this down: nothing is impossible to those who believe. Now, how many of you in here believe? Raise your hand. I want to see how many of you believe. All right, very good. You believe. You believe this word, and so nothing is impossible for you. Amen. Nothing is impossible for you. You can walk in truth. You can walk in the possibilities of God, because He says nothing's impossible. And sometimes I just feel like I just want to take somebody's face and just say, nothing's impossible, Kathy. Right. Just believe. I can picture Jesus doing that to me sometimes. Amen. He just wants to take my face in His hand and say, nothing's impossible, Pam. Just believe. Just believe. So picture that when you are having a difficult time walking in belief. Just picture Jesus coming up to you and cupping your face because He loves you so much and saying, nothing's impossible, only believe. Amen. Just do that. Let's look at some lessons that this woman's faith taught us, will teach us, let's put it that way. She didn't just wish to be healed. You know, like we could say, oh man, I wish I had a house and a farm. Well, it's a good, fine, you wish it, but are you doing anything to receive that house and farm? That is my wish, really. A farm and a house. But so we can wish all we want to, but until we put that into action and it becomes a want to where we desire, I want this, and I'm doing what I need to do to get to attain this thing. That's what you do. She wanted her healing. The bleeding woman wanted her healing so bad that she was willing to do whatever it took. And what she did could have actually cost her life. Amen. In that time, it could have actually cost her her life. Here she is doing exactly what she's not supposed to be doing. She's out and about in the public. mingling among people. And if anybody, you know, it was real crowded at that time. And if anybody just accidentally touched her, guess what? They're unclean for 7 days. So for one thing, people didn't even want her to be out and about, just in case that happened. And so she was willing to make a personal investment, no matter what it took. She was determined to get her healing. She was absolutely determined to get it. She was willing to pay the price. Are you willing to pay the price to get what it is that God says you can have? He says you can have things. You can have healing. You can be born again. You can have salvation. You can have peace. He says, my peace I give to you. So if I say, Richard, here's my peace, and you just leave it alone, and you say, oh, wonderful, but you don't take it, you don't get peace. But we have to say, okay, I receive your peace, God. I receive everything you have for me. I receive that. So you have to do that on your own. No one can do that for you. No one can do that for you. So let's look at a few examples of being willing to pay the price for what you want and not being willing to pay the price for what you want. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 32, we read the story of the prodigal son. We know about a prodigal son. We have a prodigal son. But we know about that story very well. And this young man decided to ask his dad for all his inheritance. And he just wanted to go out and blow it. I mean, he just wanted to go out and do whatever he wanted to do with that inheritance and just blow it. And his dad gave him his inheritance. And he went out and he did just that. He blew it on everything he wanted to try in his whole life. And he spent it all. And he finally realized that the thing that he really, really wanted was to be back home. That was the thing he really wanted, was to be back home. And he was willing to pay the price by telling his father that, listen, I'll be a servant. I will gladly just be a servant in our household. I don't mind. I just want to be home. He was willing to pay the price to do that. So what happened? His dad threw him a party, and he got to stay home in his home. And his dad not only, he didn't say, no, you're not. He said, you're not going to be a servant. You're my son. And he gave him the ring and the robe, all of the things that are priestly garments. He gave it to him. Now we're going to look at someone who thought they wanted what they wanted, but they weren't willing to pay the price for what they wanted. So now let's look at Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 29. And in this story, we read about another young man. He was the rich young ruler. He had everything that he could have wished for, but not everything that his soul needed. He had everything outwardly, and everyone would have thought, just like the movie stars today, you see all the stuff they have. I mean, who needs 10 cars, honestly? Who needs 10 cars? I drive one, and I'm good with one. I don't want to try out a bunch of different cars throughout the week, and you have to get to know each one. No, I'm doing good to get to know one car. I still don't know some things about my car, so I'm doing good with one car. And who needs that? Who needs a 20-room house when you are the only person there? Really? Well, they wouldn't even have to clean. You wouldn't even have to clean it. That's what I think of. And my husband says, Pam, if you have a 20-room house, you do not have to clean it. You're going to have someone cleaning it. But still, all that wasted space for no reason when you could help someone else attain a home, or maybe two or three people attain a place that they need, right? I can't imagine doing that with my money and not thinking about all the people that are out here around who are homeless, especially our veterans who are homeless, and not living in a place that is a safe, comfortable place. So anyway, we don't need all that. He had everything he needed, but he didn't have what his soul needed. He didn't have, and he probably felt so empty inside, maybe even like his life wasn't even useful. He had all this stuff, but he probably felt, and that's what I feel like some of these movie stars, and I don't mean to be picking on them, but those are just the ones I happen to think about. All the movie stars, they have everything that they could ever desire, but they feel empty. They don't feel like their life is even useful. They make a movie. Well, they make a movie. There you go. But they don't feel like, you know, any other thing is useful in their life. So this young man, with all his riches, he had a bleeding heart and didn't know how to heal it. And Jesus' response to him was, go sell everything you have and come and follow me. Jesus would have been everything he needed and more than if he would have just done that. And I somehow just believe that the Lord would have supplied him with even some of those wonderful things that he had he been willing to just say, here, give it to the poor. Just give it to the poor. I'm going to follow Jesus. Had he just been willing to do that, but he wasn't willing to do that. And so he walked away sad. And Jesus said to him, I think this is what Jesus was saying in essence to him. My mind can think of that. I have a ministry for you, and your life will be fulfilled, and you won't feel empty inside. And I think Jesus is saying that to each one of us. I have a ministry for you. I have a ministry for you, and your life will be fulfilled now. And you won't feel empty anymore because Jesus is the one. Remember? Amen. Oh, I need Jesus. Oh, I need him. Oh, I need Jesus. Take this world and give me him. Had he been willing to do that? Can you imagine? He missed out on so much. He missed out on so much. The woman with the issue of blood, and I'm almost done. What time is it? Okay. The woman with the issue of blood made the decision to get to Jesus no matter the cost. She said, and this is crucial, and I want you to write it down because I want you to say it as well. She said within herself, if I can just get to him and just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. She knew if she could just get down there and touch the hem of that garment, she was going to be healed. And I love it because she didn't say, well, I might, but she said, I will. And most Bible scholars, and I meant for you to bring your tallit, most Bible scholars say it was his tallit. And the tallit is the shawl that you see a lot of the Jewish men wear. They'll walk around and the little tassels, you know, hang from it, or they'll put it around here and the little tassels will hang from it. Most Bible scholars say when she said she's going to touch the hem of his garment, it was the tallit. According to Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, and this is a powerful verse for us today. As a Jew, which she was, because Jesus called her a daughter. He didn't just call people a daughter unless they were a daughter of the covenant. And so he called her daughter, and she would have known this scripture right here that I'm getting ready to read to you. And this is from the New Living Translation, and it says, but you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And you will go free and leaping with joy like calves that are let out to the pasture. Now, I love that verse. I love that verse. You're going to go free and you're going to be leaping around like a little calf. To me, I love watching that. They're just so free when you see these little calves in the pastures and they're just bouncing around and they look so adorable. They're free. They don't have worries. They don't have heaviness on them. They're just leaping around. And God is specific when his word says, you will go free and you're going to leap around like calves that are led out to the pasture. How beautiful is that? So when she heard Jesus was coming by, she knew this scripture verse that says, healing are in his wings. And those little tassels, I think is what they said, are considered the wings. And she spoke it and she received it because she spoke to her mountain. Jesus said, speak to your mountain. I don't care what it is, if it's finances, if it's your health, if it's a divorce, if it's your children, it doesn't matter. Because he didn't say, well, speak to your mountain only if it's this mountain. He said, speak to the mountain. It doesn't matter what the mountain is. He said, speak to the mountain. And she spoke to her mountain out of her heart. And you know, the Bible says what's in our heart comes out of our mouth. So if you don't have the word tucked inside here, if you're not remembering some of the word, you need to be reviewing the word, reviewing the word, reviewing the word, and getting it in you. I honestly, and this is not a braggadocious kind of thing, I just get shocked sometimes over scripture verses that pop out of my mouth. And I haven't even thought of that scripture verse in who knows how long and how many years ago I memorized it. And there it is. There it is. It just comes out when it's needed. It comes out when it's needed. I am so thankful for that. Because any words I have to say to somebody, nah, it's not going to do much of anything. You know, they may listen to some of it. They may not. But still, it's not going to complete the whole thing. But when I can speak out the word of God to them, bam, that's what works. That's the power. That's what works. So keep it within you. Keep it within you. And what you say is very powerful, and it will accomplish what it's sent out to do. Faith speaks the desired result. Remember, today's message is on faith to believe. Faith speaks the desired result. What is your desired result today? What is your desired result? Think about that. What is going on in your heart and in your mind? And the desired result you have is in you. It's in you. You know it, and that's what you seek for. But are you willing to pay the price for it? Are you willing to pay the price? You have to be willing to pay the price to get that. So what is causing the bleeding in your heart and in your soul? Think about that today. Just close your eyes for a second. Lord, maybe it's from so long ago, you may not even realize it, but you're carrying it. You're carrying it. You have never gotten rid of it. What is causing the bleeding in your heart and in your soul? Is there anyone, anything, including yourself, that is keeping you from receiving? Is there anything keeping you from getting what the Lord has for you today? You got to want it so bad that you're willing to pay the price. And if it means you're willing to be what you consider embarrassed by getting up and coming down, there's nothing embarrassing about it, because it's going to be the most rejoicing thing for us as well to see someone get free and say, I want what God says I can have. Amen. I want what God says I can have. So you be bold. Let your desperation ignite your faith. Remember, we all have that seed. Let your desperation ignite it. Like if I just set a match to a little stick of dynamite. We're not going to all kind of stay around here because we know that thing's going to blow at some point, right? Okay, we want that in our life. So light that thing and let it come out. And she was willing to get down. This precious woman was willing to get down, and which she had to get down because she didn't want to be seen. I'm sure she had her shawl down so that most people probably wouldn't know it was her. And she crept down on the ground just so she could reach up and touch the tallit. And of course, when she did, even though there were probably loads of people trying to touch Jesus and crowding in around him, Jesus immediately felt the dunamis go out of him. He felt it. Out of all the people that were probably touching him and rubbing up against him or whatever, he felt a power released from him the minute she touched because of her faith. And she received it because it says, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And of course, the disciples are like, "Really? There's a million people around here. They're rubbing up against you. They're touching you. And you want to know who touched you?" He said, "Uh-uh, not that kind of touch. I felt the power go out of me, and I want to know who touched me." And she said, "It was me." And he said, "Daughter, you are free. You are healed." Now, if you want that today, it's up to you. It's up to you. You have the same faith, that little seed. Now, if it's just sitting there not being watered, it's not going to do a thing. So if you have that seed of faith and you want what God says you can have, then today is the day I would like you to do that. So, Jenny, if you can do that, I want you to close your eyes. Well, no, don't close your eyes because I want you to read the words. Read the words to this song that we're going to play because it's crucial. She crawled to Jesus. You're going to have to... He talks about crawling if you have to crawl. It doesn't matter. You want to get to him. You want to receive what he has. Don't be stubborn, stiff-necked, prideful. Don't let any of that get in your way. Let today be your day. I'm going to move this over here so they can go up there.